From NPR News in Washington, I'm Craig Windham. The death toll is rising rapidly in Japan as emergency crews reach areas devastated by today's powerful earthquake and tsunami. Japanese police say they have found as many as 300 bodies in one hard-hit area. The trembler, which had a magnitude of 8.9, has been followed by a succession of strong aftershocks. The quake has also triggered a towering tsunami, which has swept across coastal Japan and now threatens a large area of the Pacific. The BBC's Roland Burke describes the scene in Tokyo when the quake struck.
I was actually down in the street, and at first I felt like I was going faint or something, because my legs felt wobbly. But then very quickly it became apparent it was an earthquake, and the ground was really rolling. People around me had panic in their faces, as you can imagine. Some were holding onto walls to avoid falling over, and you could hear the creaking and the cracking of the great skyscrapers above that were rocking with the quake, and it did seem to go on for a very long time.
The BBC's Roland Burke reporting from Tokyo. Japan has ordered thousands of people evacuated in areas around a nuclear power plant that was damaged by the earthquake. Japan's Prime Minister Naoto Kan, his remarks interpreted by Japan's NHK TV.
Some of the nuclear power plants have stopped automatically, but so far, no radioactive material or radiation has been confirmed to have been leaked to the outside.
Reporter Lucy Kraft in Tokyo says the quake has caused problems with the cooling systems of some nuclear facilities.
They're all supposed to shut down automatically in the case of an earthquake. Apparently some of them didn't, the cooling systems in some of them didn't operate as they were supposed to. And so there was a lot of alarm about that, but we haven't heard any radiation leaks so far.
Reporter Lucy Kraft in Tokyo. The tsunami triggered by the quake is racing across the Pacific now, and warnings have been posted throughout the region, including the west coast of the United States and Hawaii, where the leading edge of the tsunami waves are just arriving. So far, no reports of any especially large waves or any major damage there. NPR's Richard Harris says it will be difficult to predict just how large the waves will be.
We actually don't know how big the wave will be when it gets to particular places across the Pacific. The grave concern is to a lot of the smaller low-lying islands in the South Pacific, where it's very difficult for people to find high ground.
NPR's Richard Harris. Evacuations are underway along parts of the Pacific coast. Renee Hore in North Bend, Oregon, says she's not the only one packing up and heading for higher ground.
Everyone is moving. The entire town is lit up. It's really odd for there to be so much traffic and movement going on.
The government is just out with its report on retail sales, up 1% last month. That's the biggest jump in 4 months, but the Commerce Department says part of that gain reflects the higher price of gasoline in the United States. This is NPR News from Washington. European Union government leaders meeting in Brussels today are looking for ways to halt the violence against the opposition in Libya, including the possibility of imposing a no-fly zone. But the U.S. Director of National Intelligence, James Clapper, says Muammar Gaddafi controls a lot of military resources.
Libyan air defense structure on the ground, radars and surface-to-air missiles, is quite substantial. In fact, it's the second largest in the Mideast after Egypt.
Clapper testifying before a Senate panel. The son of Libyan leader Gaddafi is warning that forces loyal to his father will retake areas now controlled by rebels in the eastern part of that country. Egypt's military rulers have freed two cousins who were jailed for their role in the assassination of President Anwar Sadat. NPR's Saraya Sarhadi Nelson reports the military also ordered the two to be monitored for 5 years.
Aboud and Tarek El-Zomor were convicted of plotting rather than carrying out the assassination of Sadat at a military parade in 1981. The cousins also received sentences for belonging to Islamic Jihad, an outlawed Islamist group here. The two were each sentenced to a maximum 20 years in prison, but were held for years afterward by Egypt's Interior Ministry, citing security concerns. The shooter and four other suspects in the late president's assassination were executed. Some 60 other prisoners who remained in jail long after serving their sentences were also ordered freed by the military rulers. Saraya Sarhadi Nelson, NPR News, Cairo.
Updating our top story, the tsunami triggered by the massive earthquake in Japan is sweeping across the Pacific and just beginning to reach the Hawaiian Islands. Police in Japan say the death toll there has risen to at least 200. I'm Craig Windham, NPR News, in Washington.
Support for